Well, we do welcome you tonight. Trust you had a good afternoon. Let me say, for those of you who may be our guests tonight, we're so glad you've come. We hope you will enjoy our service. Normally on a Sunday night, we are opening the Word of God together, but tonight we have a special privilege, and that is to hear some testimonies in baptism. I think it's important for me just to briefly remind us why we do this. This is, frankly, one of the most counterculture things we do as a church. To have someone who has professed faith in Christ come into a tank of water and be immersed in that tank of water is odd in terms of the culture in which we live. So why do we do it? We do it because our Lord commanded it. I was just sharing with those who will be baptized tonight. I love that command at the end of Matthew's gospel. We call it the Great Commission, in which Jesus gathers with the disciples, the 11, as well as probably the 500 Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians 15, about 2 weeks after the resurrection. And there in Galilee, Jesus gives them this command. And it is a timeless command, and it is a command that transcends all locations. He says, I want you to go into all the world and make disciples. And once you've made them disciples, I want you to do 2 things. I want you to baptize them. The word simply means to immerse. I want you to immerse them in water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I want you then to teach them all things that I have commanded you. So we are here half a world away from where Jesus gave that command. But he said, in all the nations, this is what I want you to do. It wasn't merely for those who professed faith in Israel. And he said, I want you to do it to the end of the age. So it transcends time. It's a command that is appropriate not only in the first century, but in the 21st century. This is what our Lord commands. And I reminded them and I remind you that as we do this tonight, here is our Lord's promise to us. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That promise is specifically in the context of carrying out the Great Commission, of making disciples, baptizing them, and teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. So our Lord is here with us tonight, and he will be an encouragement to these who will share their testimonies. Just to remind you, baptism doesn't have any saving efficacy. It doesn't effect a spiritual change in the life of the person who's baptized. It is merely a profession. It is a profession and a picture. It's a profession of the fact that each who will give their testimony and be baptized is claiming that they have embraced Jesus as Lord, that they are his disciple now. It's a public profession of Jesus as Lord. In fact, in the early centuries of the church, that's what a person would say before they were baptized, Jesus is Lord. But the act itself is a profession of that. Secondly, it is also a picture. It's a beautiful picture of the spiritual reality that has happened already in each life of those who will be baptized. And that is, they have died to the person they once were. When they came to faith in Christ, the old person they used to be died. Going into the water pictures that death and burial. Coming out of the water pictures that they have been raised in new life with Christ. And the life that they live now is not their old life, but rather a new life of devotion to Jesus Christ. And so it is both a profession and it's a powerful picture. I hope you will pray for these as they share their testimonies tonight. Let's take a moment now and do that, and then we'll hear their testimonies together. Our Father, we do thank you for the command that you've given us. We thank you that tonight, here in this place, so far removed from where our Lord was and so far removed in time from when he said those words, we can accomplish his command. We can carry out his words here in this place. Thank you, Father, that he promised that as we do this, as we carry out what he's commanded, that he is with us. And I pray that, Father, the Spirit of Christ would be a great encouragement to those who will share their testimonies tonight, that you would encourage them, that you would give them strength and courage and grace to share what's on their hearts. May you be exalted as the saving God that you are in and through your Son. Thank you for the work that you have performed in each life. May you be pleased with the testimonies that we hear and with our desire to obey your Son as we carry out his command. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello, my name is Sadell Davis. I grew up in a Christian home. I attended and was baptized as an infant in an Episcopal church by the sprinkling of water. I went to church because my grandmother took me to church. I moved to the U.S. in 1999, and we started attending a charismatic church. Although I heard the message of John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life," I did not respond to that message. I called myself a Christian, but lived a life that wasn't pleasing to God. My life before was of partying, sex, and drugs. Until Halloween night of 2005, there was an incident, and I ended up in the hospital. It was that night I said, "Lord, from this day forward, I want to live for you." From that day on, I have desired to know and study the Word of God. I told a former co-worker of mine about my desire to study the Word of God, and he gave me a John MacArthur study Bible. By the teaching of John MacArthur and studying of the Word, I see the constant growth and understanding of the Word of God in my life. I also see a day-to-day, month-by-month, year-by-year growth of the fruit of the Spirit spoken of in Galatians 5, 22-23, being manifested in my life. It was through the Strange Fire Conference that I got to know of Countryside Bible Church. It was made clear through the teaching of John MacArthur, Pastor Tom, and Pastor Dusty, that baptism was and is done by immersing in water and not sprinkling of water. So that's why I'm here tonight.
Sadell, thank you for your testimony of faith in Christ. Because you have come to understand the truth of the gospel, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And because you have placed your faith in Christ as your only hope, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
My name is David Browning, and I am 12 years old. My life before salvation was a life of rage and not knowing Christ's love. I've grown deeply by learning more about Christ through reading his word. I learned to pray before reacting, trusting God to help me through situations. I learned that Christ's death and gift of eternal life was the best gift. It was a night after I made a bad decision that I knew that living without Christ wasn't the life that I desired. I am forever grateful for the teaching I have received through my life so far. Ephesians 2:8 shares, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." God extended his grace to me as I have grown up learning about him. I pray that when God looks down on me, he can see a reflection of him in me, and that in the future we may walk together. Since I have known Christ, I am now kinder and less angry. I am forever grateful for Christ dying on the cross for my sin. I want to live more like him and follow in his ways. Christ commanded us to follow him, and I desire to do that. That is why I desire to be baptized.
David, thank you for your testimony and your profession of Christ. It's wonderful to see the fruit of a faithful home and for you to come to understand the truth of the gospel. to understand the truth that only by grace, by God's unmerited favor, by His desire to give us what we don't deserve and the very opposite of what we deserve, received by faith. Because you understand that gospel, because you've come to place your faith in Christ, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Well, good evening. My name is Caitlin Rhodes, and this is my testimony. I was born into a Christian household and spent most of my life attending Countryside. By the time I was 7 years old, I made a profession of faith in Christ. My faith, however, was far from authentic, and my motives for living a Christian life stemmed from a desire to please my parents. By the time I had entered high school, I had mastered my Christian charade, and while I wouldn't admit I was having doubts about my salvation, I knew my life did not match the biblical description of a believing heart. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." Though I had heard that verse countless times, I continued to rely on my own rules to get into the kingdom of God, because in my mind, salvation just couldn't be that simple. I tried so hard to make my life fit the Christian mold so that I would be acceptable before God. But despite my intellectual acceptance of Jesus Christ, I knew I did not love Him, and I was apathetic toward growing more like Him. Despite my indifference to the commands of Scripture, I regularly battled my fears of never making it to heaven, and wrestled with the reality that my life was not what people saw on the outside. My prayers were frequently characterized by reprofessions of faith, but the commands of Christ continued to be burdensome, and I saw no inward change. Finally, during my junior year of high school, I heard a message on the doctrine of election. The speaker focused on Ephesians 2:8 and 9, and for the first time I understood what it meant to be saved by grace. God awakened my spiritually dead heart to the reality that I was in a hopeless race to try and make myself righteous before Him. Isaiah 64:6 says that our righteousness is like filthy rags, and because of that, my righteousness would never be enough to satisfy the penalty my sin deserved. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." Christ was treated as righteous, or sinful, so that I might be treated as righteous. I realized that I was basing my hope for salvation on who I was, rather than who Christ is on my behalf. Romans 4:5 says, "But to the one who does not work, but believes in Him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness." Christ was the only one who could live the perfect life acceptable to God in my place. It is His righteousness which is given to me on the basis of faith. It was then that I repented from my efforts to make myself good and truly put my faith and trust in Christ alone for salvation. Since God awakened my heart to new life, my love for Christ is evident in my love for others and my desire to grow in holiness. Where I used to feel legalistic guilt from not reading Scripture or spending time in prayer, I now feel hunger for those things which strengthen my walk with Christ. I also feel a genuine compassion for those who do not know Christ, and am thankful for any opportunity to share the gospel. While I do still battle with my sin nature, now my conscience is sensitive to disobedience, not out of guilt and fear, but out of love for Christ and what He has accomplished in my life. I can say with Paul in Philippians 3 that I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and may be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. And that is why I've come to be baptized tonight.
Caitlin, thank you for your clear testimony of faith in Christ. We're so grateful, as with all of us who are in Christ, that the Lord brought you to see that your own righteousness could provide no hope, that the only hope we have is found in the righteousness of another, the righteousness of Christ credited to our account. Because you've come to understand that, because you have placed your faith in His work, both on the cross and in His righteous life as your only hope of heaven, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
everyone. My name is Amy Ludke, and this is my testimony. I didn't grow up in the church, but I was exposed to the gospel when I was 13 years old. My younger brother had passed away days before, and the truths of the gospel provided me the hope I needed during this difficult time. I didn't want to be eternally separated from God, and I desperately wanted to see my brother again. I remember saying a prayer that I wanted to give my life over to Christ, but it wasn't until many years later that I would truly understand my need for a Savior. As a young adult, I didn't attend church or read God's Word regularly. In my mind, I had put God on the back burner. I was too busy with my own desires and ambitions. God was gracious and allowed me to be successful with my education and my career, but instead of seeking God and His will, I sought my own desires. I had my own plans, goals, and accomplishments. And I love these more than I love God who created me. Shortly before my husband and I were married, we got plugged into a good church in Amarillo. It was our first exposure to solid biblical teaching. As a result, I increased in my knowledge of God, but I still hadn't fully submitted myself to Christ. As I grew older, something in my life was changing. I began experiencing some chronic health problems. I no longer had the energy or the stamina to accomplish what I wanted to. At one point, even daily living became a challenge. I realized that I wasn't in control of my life like I thought I was. I felt helpless, but God had a plan. God brought me to my knees and I humbled myself before Him. I confessed that I had been walking in disobedience to Him by seeking my kingdom rather than His kingdom first. By God's grace, I learned that because of my sins, I had made myself an enemy of God. I needed a Savior. I responded by putting my faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of my sins. Romans 10:9 says, "If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved." Because Jesus lived a perfect life and died in my place, I have new life in Him. Isaiah 53:5, speaking of Christ, says, "But He was pierced through for our transgressions, He was crushed for our iniquities, the chastening for our well-being fell upon Him, and by His scourging we are healed." My salvation is completely a work of God. I did nothing to earn it. Even the faith I have is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast, as it says in Ephesians 2:8 and 9. Instead of pursuing my own ambitions, I now desire to live a life that glorifies God through worship, growing in His Word, and serving His church. And when I stumble and I find it hard to obey Him, I know that I have a loving and faithful Father who will not abandon me. He has given me His Spirit who lives in me, guiding me in the truth. I have been encouraged in my faith by many in this church family. Through the sound teaching of God's Word and through seeing others live out their faith, I have grown in the truth and in my love for God. In John 14:15, Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." I want to show my love for Jesus by obeying Him as my Lord. That's why I'm here tonight to be baptized. Thank you.
Amy, thank you for your testimony, for your clear profession of faith in Christ. We're so grateful that the Lord brought you to see that your only hope was in Christ and that He brought you to understand how you could come to know Him by confessing Jesus as Lord and by believing in all that He is and all that He did. Because you have embraced Jesus as Lord, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
My name is Daniel Hamilton. I gave my life to Christ when I was 8 years old, or supposedly did. I do not remember much then. I remember telling my mother that I would like Jesus in my heart. It wasn't until I was 15 years old that I got baptized. My family at that time went to a Baptist church and understood baptism was something you do after salvation as obedience, and since I professed Christ, I needed to do this. I relied on this profession of faith for many years and still did until recently. It wasn't until after leaving my family and going to college in the DFW area that the truth about me really came out. With no roles and no one to watch over me closely, I started to live how I wanted to live, hanging out with certain people and doing things that no Christian has business doing. About 5 years after I graduated college, the Lord humbled me. I was hit with a trial that put me face first on the floor. I cried out to the Lord, I cannot do this myself. I need a Savior to rescue me. I knew that where I was in life was my fault and a result of my sin and would continue to be unless something changed. I repented of my sin and turned to Christ. I surrendered my life to Christ. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace that you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. I knew my life now needed to be lived for Christ and not for myself. I needed to find a church. I needed to physically remove myself from my current life situations and friends. I moved out closer to Southlake so I could be closer to the church and more involved here. I have given my testimony a few times to other believers, and each time I would describe my time in college and after, as some Baptists call it, backslidden, and that the Lord had brought me back to the fold. But the reality of it was not back to the fold, but more of beginning a new life within the fold. It wasn't until recently that I started to question the time of my salvation. Pastor Tom's recent messages on Romans 1 really hit home. There is no spiritual life without a spiritual pulse. John 15:8, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Those years in college were not simply backslidden. I lived those years as a spiritually dead person. My salvation occurred more recently. I needed to be baptized again. I want all to see that I associate myself with Jesus Christ and follow in obedience to him. I now daily desire to read and study God's word for my understanding and the understanding of others. My desire is that those around me are a ministry, and what lasting impressions can I have on them for Christ? I long for the day when I have a glorified body that is free from sin and I can worship the Father face to face. I come now in obedience to Christ, desiring to be baptized.
Daniel, thank you so much for your testimony. We're so grateful for God's work, and we're grateful that along with many of us here, God brought you to see that an early profession of faith wasn't for you genuine, and that in fact it was a false profession. And he brought you to see that a true believer has spiritual life because you have come to the point in recent years when you have repented of your sins, when you have placed your faith in Christ and in him alone as your only hope. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, I hope that you will pray for each of these who've been baptized tonight, that you'll remember at least one of them, maybe a couple of them who stood out, maybe that you know, whose testimony stood out to you. And I hope you'll let them know that you appreciate their taking the effort, making the effort to follow the Lord in believers' baptism, and let them know how much their testimony encouraged you, as I'm sure it did. It did encourage me as I heard each of their stories. As I'm often reminded, you know, our stories in Christ are different in that there are unique circumstances, and yet there are so many similarities. I heard myself and the work of God in my own life in the testimonies of several who shared tonight, and I'm sure you did as well. So I hope you will remember them and pray for them. Let me just say, if you're here tonight and you recognize yourself in one of these testimonies, and you have come to realize that even as you sit here, you are not a true believer. You're not a true follower of Jesus Christ. You have never come to the place in your life where you have abandoned all hope in your own righteousness, in your own good works, your own merit, your own effort, and you have humbled yourself before God, expressed a willingness to turn from all that you know to be sin and rebellion against him, and put your faith in Christ, in his perfect work, in his perfect life, lived in the place of everyone who would believe in him, and in his substitutionary death, in which he died in the place, suffering the just wrath of God for all who would believe. If that's never been true of you, it can be true tonight. I would love to talk with you after the service. I'll be around and available. I would love to have the chance to talk with you or share the gospel with you more. But no, that's our desire for you, is that even on a night like tonight, your story would become a story very much like these, where you hear the gospel and you come to genuine faith in Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Our Father, we are so grateful for your amazing work of grace in the hearts of all who know you. Lord, we have heard several tonight share the reality that it's by nothing that we have done, not by any human work or effort, but solely because you are a Savior, because you are a rescuer, and you've made a way to rescue us through the perfect life and the sacrificial death of your Son. Thank you that that message, while profound, is simple enough that even a young person can understand it and can humble himself or herself to the gospel. Father, I pray that you would work in the lives of those who have shared with us tonight, for Sadell and David, for Caitlin, for Amy, for Daniel. Father, may they know your continuing work of grace in their lives. May you bring them each day more into conformity to Jesus Christ, more devoted to Jesus Christ, longing for their lives to bring you joy. Father, I pray that you would do that work in their lives, and I pray you would do that work in all of ours who know you as well. And Lord, I do pray for those who may be here this evening who realize, even as they hear these testimonies, that they are not in Christ, that they are not true Christians. May this be the night when they humble themselves before you and call upon you for forgiveness of sins. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.